Good morning, everyone. If you would stand and grab a hymn book, let's turn to page 305. 305 is Praise Him, Praise Him. There's a lot of words in the song. We want to make sure we enunciate every one of them, okay? Sing with me. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms, He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Let's sing the last. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Well, it's good to see you this morning. It's good to be back from our trip, and many of you were traveling last week as well, so it's good to have a great homecoming day here, and hopefully we're here to praise Him, to give Him glory, praise His excellent name indeed. Well, it's good to see you. Trust indeed that we'll see Christ and His Word magnified in our hearts today. What we want to do right now, though, is take a couple minutes and welcome each other in the Lord. Let's shake some hands. And church family, you make sure you let our visitors know that we're thrilled to have them here today.
If you would remain standing, let's turn to 457. 457. To God be the glory. Amen.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done.
On the last,
great things He hath taught us. Great things He hath done, and great are rejoicing through Jesus the Son. The nearer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see.
Sing it!
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and
341. Let's sing about that victory we have in Jesus. Amen.
I heard about an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Sing it out on the last.
I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels. And some victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to
gentlemen. Yeah. Boom. Go ahead and take your places. Get ready to receive this morning's offering. We'll go over a few announcements. One announcement that did not make this week's bulletin. Teachers meeting Tuesday, January 27th at 7 p.m. So Sunday school teachers, Wednesday night teachers, mark your calendar. Tuesday the 27th at 7 p.m. Is that right, Brother Chuck? Thank you. Very, very good. Hey, folks, the day has come. We are saying goodbye, hopefully for just briefly. Hey, please pray for the college and careers they head out tonight. They're heading out for the wild blue yonder, not so much blue, a lot of white. As cold as it is here this morning, this is warm compared to where they're going. No, honestly, pray for their safety. They'll be leaving tonight afterwards, and the roads has been difficult up there these last few days, and the Lord will hopefully drive things out and up there and back without a hitch and without any problems, and keep all the bones in place where they're supposed to be, and all that other stuff. And please pray for Brother Bastilles and his dear wife. They're going. They won't come back the same. Logos class, we're offering that's starting tomorrow night, right, Brother Bruce? Okay, from 7 to 10 o'clock. If you're still concerned about that, would like to know more about it, talk to Brother Allen, Brother Bruce, and they'll fill you in on all of that nice stuff. Ladies brunch tomorrow at Cracker Barrel at 10 o'clock. Youth parents tomorrow, next Sunday night after church, I would like to have a meeting with all the youth parents after church Sunday nights. That's next Sunday night. Ladies brunch on the 20th. And congratulations to little Fiona. She finally got here. Mom and baby are all good as far as we know. I hadn't heard any different to say that they're not. So congratulations on the new arrival here. In the Bible reading schedules, we have some new ones out. If you haven't got yours, go find you one. No, we can, if you need one, we can get you one. And congratulations to those who kept on track and was able to do that this past year. So with that being said, let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for us today. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord, right now I ask you to be it the offering about to receive and be it the gift and the giver. And Lord, please be it the preacher. Hide him behind the cross and you give him the words you want him to say, Lord. And prepare our hearts. Lord, also asking for tonight's service also and an extra special prayer for those who's going to be traveling this week. Keep them safe. Ask these things in your name. Amen.
When you're up against a wall and your mountain seems so tall and you realize life's not all that fair, you can run ahead and hide, let the old man decide. You can change your circumstances with a prayer. When everything falls apart, praise his name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and he'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise his name. When you feel you can't go on, raise your hands and greater is he that is within me. You can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise his name. You can overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the words of your testimony. You'll see the darkness go as your faith begins to grow. You're not alone, so how can you be lonely? When everything falls apart, praise his name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and he'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise his can't go on, just raise your hands and say, greater is He that is within me. You can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise His name.
Amen. Well, amen. Two places in the Word of God today. Matthew 22, verse 29, and Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. If you found your place there in those passages, would you please stand with me in reverence to the good Word of God? Matthew 22, verse 29, we read these words. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, You do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. And then in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, back we'll read verse 15 with that. The Apostle Paul, writing to that local church, those believers there in Rome, he says, So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Father, we bow before you once again. Thank you, Father, for the beautiful music. Thank you for the privilege to be able to raise all our voices to you to magnify and exalt the name, the lovely name of our Savior. And I'd ask you, Father, to focus us at this moment, focus our attention, focus our hearts, our thinking upon your Word, upon you and upon your Son. We'd ask that you grant us the Holy Spirit to lead, direct, and to teach us today. Certainly, Father, these dear folk don't need to hear the thoughts or the ideas of a man, a preacher. They need to hear from you. And so, Father, I pray you take your word, deliver the message, the exact message that you would want for this church today. Thank you for each one within these walls. Pray, Father, that you'd work in eternal ways today to accomplish your glory. Accomplish what you would have for us. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen. And amen. Of course, we'll be seated. A couple things as we begin this morning in introduction. Say that over the last generation, the people of God, and churches just like this one, have seen the influence for God and His Word greatly diminished. Greatly diminished. I lament that. Not that we as a church or even this preacher needs to be concerned about exhorting or exerting some power or authority on the population of our nation or the world in general. But because, I really lament it because of the decreasing impact that we are having in this world and on this world for Christ. And I think this is correct. There are very few that understand in our day that there is indeed a Creator God. I believe that number is shrinking more and more along the way. In those that actually believe that there is a Creator God. You say, well, Pastor, why didn't you just say that the fewer and fewer that believe there's a God? Well, beloved, the fact that He is Creator is fundamental. If you believe indeed that there is a Creator, one that spoke this universe into existence, it will have impact. It will influence how you think about this world. They're not afraid, or excuse me, there are very few that there is indeed believe that there is a Creator God who spoke, literally spoke the universe into existence. They're willingly ignorant of God's directives to us. Again, thinking of that that passage in Matthew 22, where Jesus, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, "You do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God." Well, with that, there's a minority that have become very outspoken in this last generation. And they have actively changed the social climate or landscape of our society. Now listen to this. They're not afraid to raise their voices. They're not afraid to put into action their agendas to manipulate the philosophy of community and nation as a whole. The media is certainly happy to help with the manipulating of the social norms to a far more godless, and in my opinion, and I think I'm correct, a wickedly depraved culture. The result is that many Christians, many Bible-believing Christians are now, can I use the word? Ashamed to speak up for Christ. Ashamed to speak up for their God. They're fearful to declare God's standards of what's right and wrong. God gave us a standard. And beloved, understanding that there is a God who created, a God that spoke things, this universe, into existence, and also gave us His direction for His world. Well, this minority in the world today have accomplished a great deal, to say the least. The result, as we said, is Christians are now hesitant. We hold back to speak up for our God. But it is absolutely true. Now listen, it's absolutely true that even one, you know, we think we're in the minority. We think we're the relatively outcast of society. But we need to remember that even one person willing to stand up for God's glory, God's honor, and God's truth with God and His power, is not a minority. Hey, you may be standing alone, but if you're standing with God, you're standing with the majority. You stand for truth, beloved. You stand for God. And you do stand with Him. We must not err. We must not err. We must know the Scripture. And with that, the power of God. There's no shame in the gospel. There's no shame in the gospel. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." He didn't hunch back. He didn't allow himself to be cornered and inhibited. Absolutely not. He would not allow his testimony to be hindered. But let me ask you, have you ever been in a situation where you felt hesitant about speaking up for Christ? I dare say we've all been there. Maybe not every one of us, but More than likely, we've all been in that spot at some point. We err, beloved. We err in that we allow the world to have a power over us that is not theirs. The world, this world, does not have that power. Huh? To make you cower down concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I must not be ashamed of the gospel. Why is that? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. Huh? It is the power. It's God's power for the salvation of perishing sinners. That's how I got in. That's how you got in. That power, now listen, that power is not found in Muhammad. That power is not found in Buddha. It's not there. That power is not found in the millions of gods of the Hindu. Not a one of them can save or deliver the sinner. In fact, no works-based salvation can save a single soul. Not a one. We must not be ashamed of the only message that can save sinners. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, there we read recorded, neither is there salvation in any other. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no salvation in any other. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the church down the street says. I don't care what this group or that group says. There's one name under heaven whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus. We must not be ashamed. There's no shame in the gospel. Turn with me if you would. 2 Timothy, keep a finger there in Romans chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1. Listen at this from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy, it seems was a bit prone to be timid, to hold back. The Apostle Paul writes to his young friend, and he says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. A spirit of fear does not come from God. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, neither of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Beloved, there's power in the gospel. We must not be ashamed of what Jesus Christ did for us. Verse 9. The power of God, verse 9 says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Hey, God put this thing together at the beginning. Must not be ashamed. And indeed, there is no shame in the gospel. It's the good news of salvation in Christ. But secondly, the gospel, as we see, is indeed the power of God. It's the power of God. For it is the power of God. Now, preachers, just like me, Preachers like myself like to make reference to the fact that the word power, verse 16, and most often found in the New Testament, is the Greek word dunamis. Dunamis. We get our English word dynamite from that word. Because of that, we get the impression that the gospel is like dynamite's explosive power. But that's bad interpretation. It's simply bad historical Bible interpretation. Normally, now think about this. Normally, what do explosions do? They make a mess. Explosions create disorder. Explosions many times create chaos and confusion. And think about this. That's not what the gospel's about. Actually, dynamite was invented in 1866 by Alfred Nobel. Yes, that one associated with a Nobel Peace Prize. He received a U.S. patent in 1867 under the name dynamite. Dynamite. Now listen, first century Israel in Greece did not know anything about explosives. Black powder, or what we might commonly call gunpowder, wasn't invented until at least the 9th century in China. I heard some folks saying that. In China. Now listen, the gospel is not the dynamite of God. The gospel is God's message of grace, of mercy, and love that He, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, brings into operational power in the heart of a lost sinner. Draw him savingly, beautifully, eternally to the Lord Jesus Christ. That Greek word that our word dynamite comes from describes a power that resides within something. An intrinsic, inherent power is what it describes. There is explosive power to change a landscape with a stick of dynamite. And within the gospel resides a great power to change and to create change. It's not an explosive thing. Think it through. It's not an explosive thing, but an effectual, loving wooing of the Holy Spirit of God to convince us of our need of Jesus' saving work on our behalf. It's a moving, beloved. It's a moving work. And with that said, I don't think there's any question of the effectiveness of the power of God. Amen. Frances Havergal had it right when she penned the words, "Like a river glorious." Imagine a river, and the moving power of a river. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious is its bright increase. Perfect, yet it floweth, fuller every day. Perfect, yet it groweth deeper all the way. It's a better picture, beloved. The power of a mighty river is it flows and carries and works in that operational way is a greater picture than even a stick of dynamite might be. The gospel is indeed something glorious, something majestic, something powerful. Oh my, yes, all that is true about the gospel. But it's not an explosion, but a mighty moving within hearts and lives to effect a change. Is it a miracle? Is it a miracle? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. The gospel has miraculous power. The gospel takes a sinner and makes him a saint. The gospel gives sight to the spiritually blind. The gospel gives light to those that are in darkness. The gospel straightens the crooked walk of a transgressor. The gospel opens the silent ear of those spiritually deaf. The gospel, hey, hallelujah, the gospel gives life to those that are dead in trespasses and sin. Yes, there is miraculous power in the gospel. We see as well, thirdly, the gospel is God's power to save. It's His power to save. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. In this miraculous thing, God's been pleased to invest in the gospel, in that gospel message, the power to save. Again, it's miraculous. There's no way we can just simply explain this is what happens. I've tried to sort it out. Maybe I'm just not as bright as you are. But if it's not explained miraculously, if it's not explained supernaturally, then I don't believe it's a real salvation at all. Because it's a work of God through His power. That operational power to make a change. To make a change. God's been pleased to invest in the gospel message, His power to save. Now listen to this. It just gets gooder and gooder. The word salvation. That word salvation in our verse, in the language of the New Testament, is amazingly full and ripe with truth. It means, listen, it means the rescue. It means safety. It means deliverance. It means, hey, it means health. And of course, it means salvation. The gospel through the Lord Jesus Christ is all of that for us. He is our rescue. Jesus rescues the perishing sinner from the bottomless pit of hell. He is our safety. Jesus is the believer's safety from the righteous wrath of God. But as well, Jesus is our safety from the constant, persistent attacks of the wicked one. He's my safety. He's my rescue. He's our deliverance. He is our deliverance. Jesus has delivered us from death unto life. He's our health. Oh yes. He's our health as well. Jesus gives spiritual health and soundness to the one who's saved. Oh my. And He is our salvation. He is our salvation, Jesus. Oh, Jesus is salvation to all. To every person who will repent, turn from their evil ways, who will repent and place their faith in Him to save them from their sin. What a salvation. What a salvation. The gospel is God's power to save. But then fourthly, the gospel is powerful for all. The gospel is powerful for all, for everyone. Indeed, it says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. In this letter to the Roman believers, the apostle will explain along the way, as he writes to them, that all men, Jew and Gentile, were in need of salvation. He'd make it clear. He'd explain, as the Apostle Paul and he alone could so clearly do, that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That every man born upon this earth planet will indeed pay the wages of his sin, which is death. Oh, yes. It'll go on to make it clear. He'll go on to make it clear that regardless of race or ethnic background, regardless of religious background, all were in need of salvation. You see, the foot of the cross is level ground for every man, every person. We all come there as sinners. Praise God, beloved. Praise God, that message is not discriminate. The message of the gospel does not discriminate. It's not simply a message for the wealthy, nor in fact is it a message only for the poor. No, indeed. The gospel's not limited to a special segment of society. It is not only for God's ancient people, the Jews, but hallelujah, for you and for I today, for the majority, the vast majority of us in this room today are Gentiles. A Gentile is simply someone that's not a Jew. What did the Apostle Paul write? Indeed, it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. Huh? Everyone put their faith, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be their salvation, to save them from their sin. Well, is the gospel something we should be ashamed of? Is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ something that we should be ashamed of? Is it something that we should allow the world to keep us from declaring? Lord, help me. Lord, help all of us to be not ashamed of the gospel, but to declare it all places where me may be. Is the gospel something we should be ashamed of? Is that life-changing message of Jesus Christ something that we should be shy to share? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It is God's power for God's people. It is God's power for God's people. It's His power for us to be saved. It's His power for us to live. Each year since I've been here at Metropolitan, I've prayed, and some years it's been easier, some years harder. But I've prayed seeking the Lord's direction for a special emphasis for our church. We began here in March of 2011, when we arrived at Metropolitan. So then in January of 2012, we focused on pursuing excellence for Christ. Pursuing excellence for Christ. We should never, ever in our hearts or minds have the idea that, oh, it's good enough. That's good enough. But that we should always and forever be pursuing excellence for the Lord Jesus Christ. That He indeed deserves our very best. In 2013, in conjunction with the 90th anniversary of Metropolitan Baptist Church, our theme for that year was 90 years preaching Jesus. Pressing on. Pressing on. Toward the mark. Yes. Praise God. for what He's done in days gone by in and through this church. But beloved, we need to be looking forward, not looking back. We need to be pressing on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling that is ours in Christ. Pressing on till that day when we hear the call, come up hither. We're here to occupy for Christ till He come. And then, in 2014, over this last year, we emphasized or tried to put forth the importance of making a difference for Christ. Oh, that God would allow us to truly make a difference for Christ. Yes, in our home, in our lives, but in our homes, in our church, and in this community. That indeed, beloved, this world would see, hey, this community, this city would see that there's some folks on a hill there in Lake Worth that love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, and they're there to make a difference for Him. For this year, 2015, the Lord's impressed me. Well, let me back up and say this. With each of those themes in these years, my prayer has been to not just be simply a catchy saying or phrase for our promotional literature and such things, and maybe focus a few messages upon. My prayer was that we would focus on those key biblical principles for 12 months of our lives, that in that time, they would become not just an idea, but a part of our lives. I don't ever want to quit pursuing the very best for my Savior, His excellence. I want to continue to press on for Christ till He calls me home. When should we stop seeking to make a difference for Christ? No, pray that along the way these things would become part of our lives. And now this year, for 2015, this was a hard one this year. I prayed. Lord, give me some direction. And it seemed very clear that the Lord impressed me that we as individual believers and as a church should come to understand and experience God's power. God's power for His people. God's power for His church. Has there been a time where that power was needed more? I know I say this often, but this crazy world we're living in seems to be falling apart. The evening news is a litany of tragedy, wickedness on every side. This world, this city, Lake Worth and Fort Worth, needs to see there's something else. Huh? That indeed, God's given us a message. He's given us this thing we call the gospel. His good news. The way we cower down and are ashamed, beloved, you'd think it was bad news. May the Lord help us this year as we explore how God's power can be effectual in our lives, in my life and in yours. I want to see His power displayed in Jim Turner's life and in your life. In these days, I'm praying that Metropolitan Baptist Church, we've seen blessings, folks. The Lord's blessed our church, and I'm so thankful for it. But I'm praying that we have only begun to see what God would be pleased to do here. That along the way, God would continue to bless out of His mighty, moving power. For today and for eternity. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Indeed, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek or the Gentile." And as the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 22:29, might we not err? You do err, He said, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. My prayer is that we would assimilate this message. We would be equipped and prepared by the Word of God, the Spirit of God, to be a powerful force moving in this world today. Like that river, glorious. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, we bow before You. Indeed, Lord, we pray that You might be pleased to display Your power. Lord, we don't want to see Your power for Your power's sake or for just to see some strange or unusual thing. Father, I'm praying that You would reveal Yourself in the power of the gospel. That in these days, Lord, You might be pleased in a very miraculous, supernatural way to work in the hearts and in the lives. Precious, precious souls. Lord, I'm praying that we as a church family would live in the power of God. And that we as individuals, believers, the people of God, would live in the victory, the tremendous triumph of the gospel. Lord, I thank You. And I pray for those within these walls today. Lord, I simply ask You in Jesus' name, work in every heart, in every life. Lord, it may be that somewhere in this room right now, there's someone that would question their own salvation. I'm praying, Father, that the message of the gospel, Jesus' death, His burial, His resurrection and victory over the grave, would speak to their heart today. Today, this day might be the day of salvation for them. But Lord, I also pray for Jim Turner. I pray for every member of Metropolitan Baptist Church, for all in attendance here today. Lord, would we, oh Father, God forbid that we would err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. Father, help me, help us as a church to not allow the world to box us in, to not allow the world to inhibit us in any way. But, oh God, oh Lord, we be ready always to give an answer of that hope that lieth within us, the hope of the gospel. Thank You, Lord. Bless and work in our hearts even now. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother John, do you have a song for us?
Page 155.
Yield to the Lord. Yield to the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God. Whatever He's saying to you today, do it. If you're here today and there's any question of your salvation, we're here to try to help you, point you to Jesus. We don't want you going home without that peace, without that assurance. Christ died for you. We as a church, we're here to serve you, minister to you, pray for you, do for you in whatever way we can. We love you. Let's sing.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit till all shall see thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still.
You can be seated, church. That's good enough, sister. We'll finish that. Can you stand up there? Amen. This is Gene Bagwell. And you can blame her. This is Alan's mother. And I had the privilege of being Gene's pastor in Wichita Falls at Victory Baptist Church. And she's come to live in Fort Worth. And she's come before us today to become part of Metropolitan Baptist Church. And she says, "Do you need to talk to me?" And I said, "Gene, I know you." I says, maybe only need to pray about this a little bit." No, I'm kidding. She knows that. And known this dear family for, I guess, about going 8 years now. And love them. Been through some good things and some tough things with them. Amen. And I love them. Sister Jean, you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Yes, I do.
And it's your desire to unite with Metropolitan Baptist Church on a promise, a letter from a sister Baptist church. And that's Victory Baptist Church in Wichita Falls, Texas. And I guess that's it. Church, all in favor of receiving this dear one on the promise of a letter, say amen.
Amen.
Pose the same sign.
Amen.
And so order. You're stuck, buddy. Amen. He just will not behave. Amen. Well, amen. Oh, now she, we ain't going no farther than that. Miss Jean, I'm going to commend this lady. She raised two sons, and they're both in the gospel ministry.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God's grace, but also also Jean's part as well. Amen. Well, let's stand together, church family. Brother John, do you have a song for us? Church family, you come by and you welcome Sister Jean into our fellowship as we say amen.
We'll be dismissed with our chorus. It's page 211 if you need the words. It's also in your bulletin as well. Let's just praise the Lord.
Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord.
You're dismissed.